רסקה פה שיורים. Robert water, please. Thank you. In the last couple of shiurim, we were talking about the same topic, how we refine our midot. And I mentioned last class that ultimately we're all after one thing. All human beings, their nature is to constantly run after what gives them pleasure. What is called ta'anug. Hashem created us in such a way that we're constantly looking to have this pleasure. Toda rabba. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Haolam she'hakol ne'em lo. This is how Hashem created us. Hashem created us with a system, so we're constantly looking to have pleasure. And pleasure can be spiritual pleasure, it can be physical pleasure, it can be emotional pleasure. But our nature is to constantly look for happiness and to look for what makes us happy. And when something doesn't make me happy, then the emotions that it brings out from it as a result from that will be the complete opposite. Will be sadness, will be disappointment, will be emptiness, which will result into many other things like anger and anxiety and impatience, all these emotions. And I explained that in the structure of the world, we have the 10 sefirot, and everything mishtalshel, everything comes down to this world from the 10 sefirot, which everything originates in the sefira that is called Keter. Keter is a crown. Everything is included in the Keter. And the Keter has three levels. The first one is called Ratzon, the desire, the will. Then comes Machshava. Then comes Ta'anug. Machshava is a thought, Ta'anug is pleasure. This is the cycle, the system, how we operate. First will be a Ratzon, will be a desire to do something. Doesn't matter right now if it's good or bad. But it's constantly, it's always going to start with a Ratzon. Then it will Leholid, it will impregnate, it will give birth to Machshava, to a thought, which that will ultimately lead to the desire of having pleasure. There's very rare people that what motivates them is the opposite of pleasure. That they deliberately looking to hurt themselves. That's very rare. But most people, what motivates them is ultimately is to get some type of pleasure. Spiritual people, what motivates them is spiritual pleasure. They would go to seek another good class, or they would want to sit down and read a good book that will spiritually enlighten them, because that will give them pleasure. A spiritual person will want to go and pray, because he will know it will give him pleasure. Spiritual pleasure. Person that is less spiritual would look to go to the beach, go to a movie, go to a good restaurant, and so forth. Depends on the level of the person, but ultimately what's driving us is the same thing, is we constantly want to be happy and we want to be pleasured.
Isn't that healthy?
It's natural. Forget about healthy. It's natural. That's a total different issue right now, if you want to have a balance. Because that depends already on an opinion, and depends on many, many different things. So one person will say it's healthy to only have spiritual pleasures, and another person will say, excuse me?
I'm asking you as a rabbi, do you think it's healthy to only have spiritual pleasures?
If a person is holding in a very high spiritual level, then it's the most healthy just to have spiritual pleasures. It's nothing to do with generations. Even though there's Yeridat Odorot, but my personal honest opinion that there's no such a thing as a physical pleasure, because a physical pleasure is something very, very temporary. Any physical pleasure will be temporary.
Pleasures don't have to be long-term, they can be short-term, they can be long-term.
So that's not the real pleasure. But that's not the real pleasure. This is the sheker of this world, that the sheker, the lie of this world.
Some
this is what's called the
let you move forward and then do something spiritual. If you do have the short pleasure, you let yourself have any of those short, maybe meaningless pleasures. Person might not want to move on to even do better things.
Okay, so this is really depending on the level of the person,
because.
It has nothing to do with nowadays. It's a spiritual level, because I know people in our generation that their spiritual level is so high that they have no connection to physical pleasures. They know that the real pleasure is spiritual. And people in our generation also connected to the physical pleasure.
It's
nothing to do with a few. Okay, that you can say on any generation, that you can count on a few hands. There are very few people in any generation.
So most of us are not like that. No, but you have to know the truth. The truth is, but to get to that ultimate truth, you have to do different things on the way.
That's the wrong way.
Say that's wrong. I will have physical pleasures because that you have to have a balance. But you have to know that the spiritual pleasure, that's the ultimate. That's the truth.
See, this is
maybe you're not going to hold there, but that's the truth.
See, okay, this
so
is
I'm
exactly.
Not disagreeing with that. I'm disagreeing with the fact that nothing wrong with having both, combination of both, especially if it brings you to higher points.
That's the problem. It won't bring you to a higher place.
Level, you can go and have great.
But that's the shekel. It's not going to bring you to a higher place. This is exactly the shekel of this world. That. The deception of the world, the concealment that the world has, will convince you or any other person that the physical pleasure will actually bring you to a higher spiritual level.
Can I ask you a question? You know what the highest thing is. Do you not ever do something that's just fun for you?
Fun for me is to learn Torah. And fun for me is to do something that will connect me to God.
Okay,
I didn't tell you that you have to hold that level. I'm just telling you, it's almost like taking now a baby and arguing with the baby, why is he on the floor eating a piece of toy? It's almost like literally arguing with a baby. Why are you eating this piece of toy?
That's helping him develop. As that baby is, the fact that he's eating that toy, it's helping him develop that at some point he'll be able to walk. And then at some point he'll be able to run.
Right.
He'll be able to do better things.
Okay,
but if he doesn't crawl on the floor, then he can't get up and walk and then run. Which is part of his develop. So for us going to the beach is part of us.
No.
We're having some type of enjoyment. And then
no.
We can go to a better place and have.
No, that's shekel. I understand where you're coming from. Because once I was also 19 and I wanted to go to the beach. But I'm telling you from a different angle, anything, that's what we talked about last week, that the Yetzer Hara will come into your mind and it will tell you, it will convince you, and it will paint the situation exactly how you want to hear it, and he will convince you how important it is. Like she said last week, I want to go to the beach because I'll do it what they do it. So the Yetzer Hara is always going to distort the reality to tell you, do this physical thing, it will take you to a higher level. You can take anything physical, and elevate it. But to be in the level, to go to a beach and to do it what they do, that's a very high level, because most people will be tempted by the pleasures and activities on the beach not to do it what they do. So one out of 1,000 will be able to really meditate on the beach. Now it depends also which beach. Whether you're going to a secluded beach that there's nobody there but you, then one might say, I can take the fresh air and the time.
There's a problem with the parties on the beach. So then there's a problem with the party in the house too.
Everything can be dissected to, you can go to a shul and do bad things. I know people who go to shuls and they do business in a shul, and they talk, and they laugh, and they say Lashon Hara, and they fight, and they don't even bother to open the siddur. So anywhere.
You could do it at a beach or a shul.
I'm just giving it as a joke when I'm saying a beach.
Okay, so it's just a joke.
It's not a joke.
It's just a joke.
No, don't take my example as a joke and saying he doesn't mean it. The point is, let me make seder bavalagan. Let me make order here. To go one step back, so we can understand, nothing physical, nothing, will cause real happiness. This is a shaker of this world, and any person that will convince himself that something physical will actually make him happy, he's fooling himself. That's the reality. And if you want to dissect it, I can talk to you 3 hours explaining to you and showing to you how nothing physical will ever make you really happy. That's how we work.
For the long term, but it might make you happy and calmer or whatever for the next 5 minutes.
Okay, so that's a Tylenol. That's what I call a Tylenol.
Right.
It will relax you for 5 minutes. Right. That's it. So it's shekel. So it's shekel. It's not truth. You can take anything physical, if you elevate it, if you use it to Kedusha, then you take the physical pleasure into the spiritual level. So I can give you now another few more examples. Having physical pleasure from food good on Shabbat is a mitzvah. So the whole concealment and the lie of the world is when Adam and Chava were created, and they were in Gan Eden, there was no concept of good and bad. There was only good. When Adam and Chava were put in Gan Eden, there was only the concept of good. There wasn't good and bad. They saw Elokut. They saw godliness. Once they sinned, and they went down from their level, then they brought down to the reality what's called good and bad, Tovera, because they ate from the tree of knowledge. The tree of knowledge is not a database. Tree of knowledge is the concept of Tovera, that they mixed the good and the bad. Up until today, in our generation, till Mashiach will come, you can look at something and it would look good and it's actually bad, and you can look at something that looks bad and it's actually good, then good and bad is mixed together. This is what's called Klipat Noga. That's for sure.
Yes.
But it's mixed. The state of everything right now is that everything is mixed together. That's why we came here to do what's called Avodat HaBirurim, is to sifting between the good and the bad. Needless to say that now most of the Mekubalim of our generation already said that we're already done with Avodat HaBirurim. Now we're just waiting for Mashiach to come. For thousands of years we did Avodat HaBirurim. Now in the beginning, for the first 2,000 years, we didn't know really how to do it. The world was not ready for that yet. Then we got the Torah, and the Torah is the manual how to do the Avodat HaBirurim. This is kosher, this is not kosher. This is permitted, this is not permitted. This is pure, this is not pure. The Torah comes and makes our life easy. So now I can know how to sift and separate between the good and the bad. Till Mashiach will come, it's everything, the creation, the reality of this world is trapped in what's called Klipat Noga, which means that it's a mixture of good and bad. So I can take something and utilize it for something good, and I can take the exact same thing and use it for something bad. I can take something physical and have pleasure from it that will go away after 5 minutes, like a good meal, and I can take the exact same physical thing and enjoy the exact same meal on Shabbat and I use it for something good. She asked about procreating. I can take the exact same act, use it for something bad, I derive a lot of pleasure out of it, but it's empty. Not only that, I pulled it out from a negative place, so what will be born out of it is a negative act and a negative emotion, and I can direct it to something positive, and I will bring life out of it, an unbelievable connection. Exactly. So anything in this world, not anything, but the majority of the things in this world can be used for good and bad. So I gave an example.
Talking about the act.
About the pleasure that comes out of it.
Having kids, that's happiness in this world.
Yeah.
Even though they give you trouble, doesn't matter.
For some people, kids is not happiness. For some kids, it's a big headache and it's a big challenge.
But this is it. You take that person and put him in a situation where he doesn't and can't have kids, then he's in misery.
Exactly.
So that's
this is exactly this fine line that everything can be looked at as good or bad. Mm-hmm. The point is, what we want to know is right now, my main point and my main aim and my main focus in this world is to be connected to my Creator. If I'm not paving my way to be connected to my Creator, I'm literally wasting my time in this world. Now will come all the different opinions and all the different thoughts and all the different situations that will tell me, connect to your Creator 20% a day and 80% of the day, do whatever you want. So my mind will create all the excuses why it's fine to connect to my Creator for 20% of the day and the rest of the 80% do whatever you want. Now, to kind of answer you, this has nothing to do with generation, has nothing to do with anything. It has to do with how a person looks at things. Now, I'm not saying right now if it's easy or hard. Everything is hard in this world. There's no such a thing that is easy in this world. Anything that is easy in this world is shekel, is a lie. This is a shortcut. Most people, they're looking for the easy way out. So they would round everything, they will distort everything, then let me do the easy way. I don't want to do the hard way. The point is that when a person wants to be true to himself, he has to wake up in the morning, and that's what I said last shiur, last class. You have to wake up in the morning and you have to ask yourself a question. After you thank Hashem for bringing you back to this world, you have to ask yourself a question. What am I doing here? Did I wake up in the morning now to go and just have breakfast and just to walk around in the street and shop and rest? And if you don't ask yourself this question in the morning, what did I came to do here? Then you'll probably find yourself that you wasted another day in your life. Because why? It's not that you're just going to be sitting on a chair and gazing at the sky. You're going to go after things that don't have real meaning. So maybe 20% of the day you will focus on good things because you got to go to work, so you got to make money and you have to eat and you have to shower. And you. But the rest of the day, you're going to be focusing on meaningless things. The result is going to be that you're not really fulfilling your part in the world, which will result in emptiness. This is what's going to happen. Now, some people in a lower physical, spiritual level, that they don't have the tools or the awareness to be able to grow to that level, so they're operating in a certain level, and they don't understand why there's a void in their life, why they're sad. They have everything, I'm sad. They don't understand why things don't give them pleasure. Oh, I just went to a beautiful vacation. I'm still empty. This is the problem of most people in this world, is that the core, the pnimiut, the inner part of them, is not satisfied. Doesn't matter how much they're going to eat good food. They're going to go to do whatever they want. They're going to have everything they want. They'll feel some type of emptiness. And they're going to start wandering around. Why is this emptiness? Now, if that person has everything in the world, money, fame, and all these good things, he will not understand where is it coming from. The emptiness will be double. But when a person doesn't have things, he's lacking things, he's lacking money, he doesn't have a relationship, relationships don't work, all these things, then he will blame all the problems on everything else. I'm sad because my wife is giving me problems. I'm sad because I don't have money. I'm sad because my kids are driving me crazy. The point is that I'm not trying to chas v'shalom judge anyone. I'm trying to analyze why we come to a point that we have this emptiness and why what's driving us to run after the fake things. So if I'm running after fake things, it means that my neshama, my soul, is not connected to the source the right way. So I'm lacking this tanuk, this pleasure. So I'm looking to how to fulfill this pleasure. Now, a person with the right guidance says, me now eating a good meal, yeah, it will give me half an hour of pleasure. And that's it. And then the food will be digested and I'm back to same phase. Or my emptiness will tell me, yeah, go to the beach and relax for 1 hour. I'm joking when I'm saying the beach all the time. But my emptiness will drive me to do something that will give me pleasure. It will give me pleasure, but it's going to be very very temporary, and then I'm back to phase one. Now, a person that has better guidance says, okay, what will give me now pleasure? I'll go now and spend 2 hours. I have 2 hours now to spend. One person will say, okay, let me go to the beach, let me go see a movie, let me walk around on the street and go through the galleries. And these 2 hours will make my mind relax, and I'll be able to focus on myself, and I'm not going to think about the problems of the world, and I'll generate new energy, and sheker, 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 and sheker. It's just me saying now, okay, let me take a Tylenol, then I'll take an Advil, then I'll take an Akamol. To numb the pain, to numb the pain, to numb the pain, to numb my feelings. That's it. Then the pill wears off, and I'm back to emptiness, to pain, to sorrow, to sadness. Now take these 2 hours and say, okay, let me pray. Why? Because I'm feeding my neshama right now. I'm bored. I'm bored out of my mind, looking at a sidur for 1 hour, and my mind is traveling everywhere. But the question is, who do you want to feed? You want to feed your neshama or you want to feed your body? A person will go and say, okay, let me now learn 1 hour. I'll learn Torah. I'll go and help a person for 1 hour. I'll go to a hospital and volunteer. I'll do an act of kindness. I'm going to give out of my personal time to somebody else. And the list is on what I can do to feed my neshama. Now take these 2 hours that will physically not relax you, or you're not going to have pleasure from, or you're not going to derive anything momentarily. So yes, you're not going to enjoy yourself for 2 hours necessarily. Some people will enjoy the shiur, the class, or the prayer, or helping another person. A lower level person, when I'm saying lower level, I'm talking in a lower spiritual level, will not enjoy it right now, but what will get the happiness is the neshama. Now the real true happiness and serenity and joy and all these things is only the neshama. A person can have millions of dollars, and all day long, moon from my one vacation, to another restaurant, to another restaurant, and have all the pleasures in the world, the neshama is not getting fed, the neshama is going to be sad, which will echo into the world, and the person will be sad. So he will be driving a fancy car, sad, will be sleeping in a beautiful home, sad. So ultimately, I know that many people don't agree with me, but ultimately the only thing that will give you real happiness, and what I said before, ta'anug, pleasure, is only spiritual. Anything physical that I will do will never. Yeah, on the surface. Everything in this world has chitzoniut, has external part, and has pnimiut, and has an eternal part. And anything in this world, you can look at the external part of it and the internal part of it. Look at a relationship between a husband and wife, between a father and a child, between any type of relationship. There's chitzoniut of the relationship, the external part. What am I getting out of here? I'm getting something out of this relationship. If it's a partnership, he's helping me run the business, or whatever it is. But there's also the pnimiut of the relationship, the internal part. And that's a connection that is only spiritual. It has nothing to do with physical. So this is one out of many examples, but anything in this world has pnimiut and chitzoniut, external and internal. If I'm focusing on the external, then I'm operating on a very low level. If I'm focusing on the internal part, then that's the core of it. This is the source of it. Now the point is, we sidetracked a lot, but the point is that our system is to constantly be driven to look for pleasures. Now if a person is already very well centered, meaning that his focus, that his neshama is directed to its source, the mind and the emotions will constantly drive to spiritual pleasures. It's almost like, I'll give you a very good example. Put now on the table a bunch of food, a lot of food, different types of food, meat and fish and bread and vegetables and fruit. And mixed in the fruit, boxes of chocolate and Coca-Cola and all the junk. Now, the smart person, I'll start the other way around. The lower level person, the more superficial level person, what's going to draw his eyes? All the colors of the candies and all the temptation of the chocolate and the cookies and the cake. Why? Instant pleasure. Give me instant pleasure. I want the cake. I want the chocolate. I want the juice. I want the ice cream. Why? Because it's instant gratification. And it's wrapped real nice. Usually sweets are pink and purple and glittery gold and all these things. And the drinks are very fizzy. There's a motion in it. All the real junk in the food, in the drinks are the drinks that move. All the Coca-Cola and Sprite and Kinley and all these things. Sheker. It's moving. It's attracting me. So a person that is constantly focusing on the external will be drawn to this type of food and right away will take it. Why? Instant gratification. But the smart person, the one who sees in a much higher level, that's seeking for the emet, will pull out the tomato, will pull out the cucumber, will eat the celery, will take all these things. Why? He's not looking for the instant gratification. He's looking for the long-term gratification, which is good health. Because the one who's constantly going to eat all the junk is going to be sick. He's going to have stomach pains, going to have tooth problems from all the sugar. He's not going to be able to sleep, too much sugar in the system, totally imbalanced in the brain from all the chemicals that's in the food, etc., etc., etc. So, yeah, he got a very instant gratification from the chocolate, but the long run, the person is going through a turmoil, sicknesses and diseases and all these things. But the smart person says, okay, I'm not going to get an instant gratification from a tomato. But what is it going to do? It's going to really fulfill me, and the nutrition that's going to give me, I'm going to be healthy. So I'm not going to have to worry about sicknesses, and I'm not going to have to worry about a dentist, and I'm not going to have to worry about doctors, and I'm going to have energy, and my mind is going to be clear, etc., etc. So there's no instant gratification here. In some cases, there's no gratification here. But the ultimate gratification is now the person is healthy. And he's not obese. And he's not having all sorts of issues because the sheker that he fed himself is driving him. So, and this is one example out of many. The point is that anything that is on the external seems the right thing, yeah, it will give you a very short gratification. Here will come the Yetzer Hara and will use it and tell you this short gratification will help you go to a high level. Comes and fools you. It's not going to help you go to any high level. Because to go to the second floor, if you don't go from the stairs, you'll never reach to the second floor. If you're going to try to climb through the wall from the window outside, the result will be that maybe you'll be able to go to the second floor by climbing on a tree from the outside. Majority of people will actually fall down and hurt themselves. So the only way to get to the second floor, to a higher level, the safe way, is you go through the stairs. Madrigot. You go one level, another level, another level. But some people want to look for a shortcut. They're like, I don't want to walk now 50 stairs. Let me climb this ladder. Let me climb this tree. I'll climb on the wall. Yeah. Some people won't be able to get to the second floor because they were able to manage to do it. But the majority will fall down. So the Yetzirah will come and tell you, yes, take this physical pleasure. It will help you go to a next level. In 99% of the cases, it's not going to work. Very few people can actually say, you know what? It's very hard for me now to do it, but I do it in my home because all the kids are running. I'll go to the beach to do it, but I do it over there because there's nobody there, but I'm going to choose the kosher beach, meaning that there's nobody there. There's no other people there. There's no distractions. There's no person walking with selling the altikim. There's no distractions that will move me from my focus that I'm taking this beautiful place and really meditating. But the reality is that most people, they find the excuses and they're not going to really say, I want to go to the beach really late but dead to meditate. That's just an excuse. I want to go to the beach because, you know, maybe I'll see my friends there. Maybe I'll enjoy the sun a little bit. Now again, I know you're looking at me in a way of saying, oh, you want me to be now a robot and not enjoy anything in this world. The reality is that very few people can segregate themselves from this world. That's the reality. Very few people can live by the code of saying, I don't want anything from this world. These are tzaddikim. Why? Because they see that everything in this world is a lie. So they're like, I don't want to have any connection from it. So these individuals who are in a very high level, they constantly segregate themselves from the world. Now I know thousands of other people who are in a very high spiritual level that they say, I don't want to enjoy anything in this world. Why? Because anything that I enjoy in this world pulls me down to the artziyut, to the gashmiyut, to the physical level of the world. I want to be disconnected. I want to fly higher. Here comes the Torah and tells you, no, Hashem created the world in a way that I have to connect the physical and the spiritual. If Hashem wanted us to fly all day long, He would put us on the moon. But Hashem wanted us to be connected to the world and elevate the world. Therefore, one needs to take the Torah and learn, how am I connecting the physical to the spiritual? So the Yetzirah will constantly come and tell you shortcuts. The point is, because we're sidetracking from the whole from the topic, but even though it's important to know, but to summarize it in a very short way, anything that gives you instant gratification and a physical pleasure, whether you agree with me or not, it's a lie. It's not true. It will not give you the real pleasure. It will give you a very short physical pleasure, and that's it. And you're back to square one.
So how is active procreation different?
I'll get to that in a second, because there's not only the act of procreation. There's many different things that can give you unbelievable pleasure. It's all where you're directing it. You can direct a certain act to the ultimate sin, and you can direct the same act to the ultimate mitzvah. So you can come with many different examples, not only procreation. The point is, where are you directing it? So before I'm going to answer you more in depth, you know, we started talking in a few classes ago about the concept of what's called or and kli, light and a vessel. The thing is that any action that I do, I will create what's called a vessel, a spiritual vessel. Now, in order for the vessel to hold something, I need to pull light in it. So if I'm looking at it in a very spiritual way, I'm constantly building vessels and fulfilling them with light. If I'm only operating in the spiritual level, then I have no problem. I will go and pray now for an hour. I build kelim, I build vessels with the letters that I'm talking. And by the fact that I'm meditating on the Creator, and I'm focusing myself and aligning myself, I'm fulfilling the vessel with the light. That's it. That's a simple act. I go to a Shiur Torah. I learn the Torah. I say the Torah with my mouth. When you learn Torah, you have to say it with your mouth. If you didn't say it with your mouth, it's like as if you didn't do anything. You have to actually say the words. That's how I'm building the vessel, a spiritual vessel. And with the act of the mitzvah of learning Torah, I fulfill the vessel with light. Now I have a complete and fulfilled vessel, I'm satisfied. That's where this pleasure comes from. Is that I'm building a vessel and then filling it with light. Build a vessel, filling it with light. Now I have two other options that will cause emptiness. Building a vessel without a light and bringing light when there's no vessel. These two will result in emptiness. Emptiness is equal and can be also explained as sadness, depression, anxiety, all these emotions that are causing me to feel empty.
This is something very difficult for me to never mind. Why a prayer without moving your lips is not a prayer? This is something beyond my understanding. If your whole body is full without prayer, but you didn't move your lips, it means that the person next to me doesn't know. But I know. My creator knows. Isn't that enough?
Okay, there's two types of prayers. There's the prayer that's coming from your heart, and you don't move your lips. This is one type of prayer. I didn't say that prayer is not good. And then there's the prayer how Hashem told me to pray from a book and moving my lips. The reason, first of all, 80% of what we do will never understand. Our human mind will never understand. I would say easily.
I understand that.
I would say easily that 80% of what the Torah tells me to do, my human mind will never ever understand it. And if I try to understand it, I'll meet a brick wall and I'm wasting my time trying to analyze it. But in regards to what you're saying with prayer and movements, I can give you now a $1 million check. $1 million here. If you don't do an action, that $1 million check is a piece of paper that is worthless. You have to do an action. You have to take the check and sign it in the back. You have to endorse it. Then you have to take the check and walk to the bank. Now, if
not
the bank...
is physical.
Excuse me?
Not everything in this world is physical.
Hold on, let me answer her. Then I'll tell you, first of all, nothing in this world is physical. Physicality is shekel. But I'm giving an example to her question, an answer. So you take this check, you have to walk to the bank. Then you have to, you know, write an envelope with a deposit slip. Then you have to stand in line. The bottom line is that you have to do a lot of actions. And you have to wait in line, sometimes a whole hour, depending which bank. You go to Bank Hapoalim, it can be 2 hours. Depending on the bank. But there's a lot of actions that you have to do. The endorsement of the check, the deposit slip, etc., etc., etc. If you don't do all these acts, then the check is worthless. It's a piece of paper. The paper becomes valuable when I do acts that I don't really want to do and I don't see the... Let me hold the check. So in many physical things that the Torah explains us to do, A, we'll never understand why, but the Torah says you have to do a certain act. Now the reason why we move my mouth, because I'm including my body in the prayer. If I'm praying in my mind or in my heart, I'm only including my mind in my heart. I said before that God wanted us to constantly connect the physical and the spiritual. If God would want us to pray only with our mind, He wouldn't put us in our body. God wants the body to pray, not only your heart to pray.
But the body does this, so it does.
But again, this is my opinion saying, I'll do this. We have to go by the instructions of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, not what the instructions, what I want to do like this.
No, now, it's an inbuilt thing. And what I'm saying is the body is active anyway.
The thing is like this. This is totally off the subject, but I'll just answer you real quick so you understand the concept. Our neshama, our soul, is holy. It's spiritual. It cannot do anything. Our soul cannot talk, cannot move, cannot see, cannot anything. It's 1,000,000 times more developed from the body. A soul doesn't need eyes to see. Soul sees, it's called Riyah Merchavit. It sees multi-million dimensions, the soul. The soul doesn't need an ear. The soul doesn't need physical things. It's way more sophisticated than the body. The soul can be present in 1,000,000 places at the same place. Soul is not limited to time, to space. Since the soul is in this world, it needs tools to interact with this world. That's why the soul gets dressed in what's called the ruach, and then the ruach gets dressed in the nefesh. And in order for the soul to interact in this world, it gets dressed in garments. And the main garments are machshava, dibur v'maaseh, thought, speech, and action. If the soul is not dressed in it, it cannot function in this world. It's like putting a hand into a puppet, and you move your finger, it moves the hand of the puppet. You move your thumb, it moves the. Then you move the entire puppet. So in order for the soul to interact in this world, it needs to get dressed in these garments of thought, speech, and action. Machshava, dibur v'maaseh. Now, when I'm acting in this world, I have to activate these garments. My thought, my speech, and my action. So if you want to translate it into prayer, I have to activate the garment of thought, so I can pray in my mind, in my heart. But I have to also activate my speech. There's a very in-depth explanation why I'm moving my mouth. Why there's a tongue in the mouth, why there's teeth in the mouth. This is not by chance that I have all these components in my mouth. My mouth is very, very powerful. And when I'm moving my mouth, I'm actually creating these vessels that are called otiyot, letters. There's a lot of explanations into it, because if you're looking at the spiritual structure of the world, the lower sphira is Malchut. And Malchut is what creates this world. And Malchut corresponds to the He, the letter He of the name Yudke Vavke, the last letter. Because Yud is Chochmah, K, the second K is Bina, and then Vav is all the Midot, the Ziranpin, and the last He is Malchut. Hashem creates the world with the Sfira of Malchut. Now, Malchut corresponds to the last hey. Hey, numerical value is 5. Not only that, you see, how do we say mouth in Hebrew? Peh. Peh has 5, chamesh motzot peh, the 5 articulations, corresponding to the 5, to the hey of the Malchut. When I talk, Malchut peh, Torah shebal peh, this is what the Tikkuni Zohar says, Patach Eliyahu. When I'm moving my mouth, I'm actually bringing down these 5 articulations, meaning that I'm bringing down the Sphira of Malchut into this world, and I'm able to create, like Hashem creates the world with His mouth, B'dibur, Hashem creates the world with speaking. It's Kivyachol, Hashem doesn't have a mouth. But Hashem creates the world with B'dibur, Ba'asara Ma'amarot Nivra Olam, with 10 speeches the world was created. When we pray every day, what do we say? Baruch She'amar V'aya Olam. Bless He that He said, and the world was created. Hashem constantly talks. So, you know, when Hashem created us, why are we called Adam? It says, "Betzelem Elokim Nivra Adam." With the image of Hashem, man was created. Hashem doesn't have a shape. Hashem doesn't have a tzelem. Doesn't have a shape. Then it says, "Nivra Adam Betzalmenu Kidmutenu," in my image. Now, when you're looking at the word Adam, why is that Adam? Because it's explained Adamel Elyon. I'm going to look like the Elyon, the one above. So anything that I do, I'm a manifestation of the Creator. So when Hashem wants to create the world, He's using His mouth, His spiritual mouth. Therefore, when I want to create worlds in this world, which is my own world, I have to move my mouth. Now this is not like an introduction to a 10-hour lecture of why I have to move my mouth, what is the mouth, why I have a tongue in my mouth, why I have teeth in my mouth, why I eat through the mouth and I breathe through the mouth. The mouth is a very powerful organ in my body, physical and spiritual. So dafka when I pray, I'm sorry I can't give you a very in-depth answer in a very short way, but there's a reason why I have to move my mouth when I speak. And I also have to do an action, machshava dibur maaseh, thought, speech, and action. I have to use my thought, I have to use my speech, and I have to use my action. That's why you see many people, they mitnadnedim, how do you say, they shako.
That's an inbuilt thing. I mean, it comes naturally.
You know why it's come naturally? Because the neshama is compared to a flame. Ner havaya nishmat adam. Our neshama is like a flame. When you put a flame outside, not in the home, outside, you'll see the flame is moving. You know why? Because the source of the fire is under the moon. So the flame constantly wants to go back to its source. Put the candle in something closed, it will stop moving so much. But the neshama is like a candle. You ignite it, it will move. So the neshama moves, your body will start moving, right? Like you call it naturally, I don't call it naturally, I just call it, it's an inner movement.
Now,
yeah. So anything that's from inside moves us. But anyways, we're really sidetracking. I want to concentrate on our topic because we have 20 minutes. Ratzon, a desire, then machshava, a thought, then ta'anug. Now, to kind of rewind to where we started and took off, is that naturally I'm constantly going to look for pleasures. This is my natural state. This is my built-in system. A spiritual person would look for the pleasures in something spiritual. A physical pleasure person would look for physical pleasures. The truth is, whether you agree with me or not, and again, I'm not inventing things, I'm just telling you what I learned. Anything physical will never bring you real pleasure. It will only give you a very short physical gratification. In very few cases, you can take something physical, derive pleasure out of it, and elevate that to holiness. And that can be in a good meal on Shabbat. And it can be from procreating. It can be from many different things. And one can take the actual pleasure and mix it with kedusha, with holiness, and then the pleasure is being elevated. This is what's called a korban. Like, why do we do korbanot? Why do we sacrifice animals on the altar? It seems like a very barbaric ritual. which is the most spiritual ritual of our belief, is to sacrifice animals on the altar. If you're looking at the entire ritual, you think these people are barbaric. Have to slaughter the animal and blood is squirting everywhere, and they have to skin the animal and cut it to pieces. And if you look at the act, you think it's some weird barbaric act. But in the spiritual term, this is the ultimate, what's called kirva. Korban comes from the word karov, to lekarev, to get close. This is the ultimate way how I get connected to Hashem. Excuse me? That's a total different thing, what it sounds and what it's not. But the ultimate closeness to Hashem is what's called the korban. In our days, we still don't have the real korbanot. So the sacrifice is me giving my best part of me. So if I now decide to give up my physical pleasure, this is a korban, this is a sacrifice. I'm taking something, ani makriv, I'm giving something that will give me a lot of pleasure, and I'm giving it to Hashem. I'm giving it up. This is the ultimate way for me to get closer to Hashem. So if I'm taking the pleasure to me and I'm enjoying it, then I'm doing what's called a richuk. I'm separating myself from Hashem. If I'm actually taking something that will physically give me a pleasure and I'm giving it away, I'm sacrificing my own pleasure. In the physical way, it looks like I'm giving something away, but in the spiritual, it's the ultimate connection with Hashem. A person constantly has to sacrifice certain things. The way to get ultimately close to Hashem is when I sacrifice my own pleasures. When I can do something now that I really like, and I don't. Now, if you're looking at it in a very physical way, everything that I'm saying doesn't make sense. Because one might say, our common sense will say, yeah, let me relax now for 2 hours, and it will give me good energy to go and serve Hashem. But this is all nonsense of the Yetzer Hara that will come and tell me, sleep for 8 hours, you need the rest. Sleep for 10 hours because you were yesterday very tired. The mind is constantly going to draw the reality to bring me away from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, we're running out of time. I wanted to bring out the whole idea that we're constantly running out of, after pleasures, to explain the whole point how I refine my midot. So this was like a very long introduction, but the point is, everything that I do, what's driving me, is that I want to derive pleasure. This is my constant motion. Now, if my mind is directed to constantly focus on the physical pleasures, because I feel the actual gratification, this is what's called to build a very big vessel, and the vessel is empty. I'm not drawing any light into it. So the result will be complete emptiness, sadness. And I'm going to be walking around with this heavy feeling that I'm sad, something's missing, and my mind will constantly look who to blame. So I'm not happy right now because I have a bad relationship with my wife. I'm not happy right now because I don't have money. I'm not happy right now because my parents are driving me crazy. I'm not happy right now because I don't have the amount of clothes that I would want to have, and so forth and so forth. The ultimate happiness only comes when I feed my neshama. If I feed my neshama what it needs to get, it will be 100% happy. That's why you see certain people that they're very spiritual. They don't care how their car looks, and they don't care if their clothes, if they have 20 shirts or one nice shirt. The physical things don't give them pleasure. I have to get to the point that I'm able to differentiate between what's the real pleasure and what's the fake pleasure. What really feeds my neshama the right pleasure, and what really doesn't feed my neshama the right pleasure. The reason why I'm giving this long introduction, even though I wanted it to be a short introduction, is that I said that first we have what's called ratzon, a desire. What does my desire want? It wants pleasure. And it will use the level of machshava to get to that pleasure, the thought. I have to figure out what's the real pleasure in order that my loredet ratzon elyon, to arouse my real ratzon. Now, how does that have to do with my midot? Because when I feed myself with the wrong spiritual nutrition, then my system is going to be empty. Here comes already the midot. I explained in the first shiur that same way how I told you that the neshama, the soul, gets dressed into thought, speech and action, into these garments, the neshama is built from components. And these components are called attributes, midot. Now the same way that the body has a DNA to it, that the DNA, if you're looking at, if a person, a doctor would look at the DNA, he can tell you just by looking at the DNA what color hair you're going to have, what color eyes you're going to have, the complexion of your skin. Everything is said in the DNA. So the neshama also has a DNA, a spiritual DNA. And this will manifest into what's called ofi, character. So if you're looking at the neshama's DNA, you can tell a mekubal will look at the neshama, like the Arizal. He would look at the neshama of the person and he would be able to tell everything about the person just by the DNA of the neshama. Now we don't have any Arizals in our generation. And there were very few in all the generations that were like the Arizal. They were able to look at the person and see the DNA of the neshama. But the neshama also has a spiritual DNA. And it will be manifested into what we call character, ofi. Now the ofi of the person, I said in the previous shiurim, we cannot change the ofi. The ofi is how it is. The ofi is my character. But then I have the midot. This is an external part. Midot is attributes. Midah in English, in Hebrew, can also be a measurement. I take now the midot and I refine my ofi. So the midot, since it's also a measurement, I can take an attribute of mercy, of rachamim, and use a lot of rachamim and a little bit of rachamim, and a lot of mercy and a little bit of mercy. This is the midah, the measurement. And constantly I have to refine my midot. Now, my midot are broken down into many, many different groups, and each midah, each attribute will give birth to another midah. Last shiur, we talked about the most important midah that is called anava, humble. If I work on the midah of anava, of humble, of being humble, then what will bring out of this midah is all the good midot, such as patience and understanding, and erech apayim, forbearance, etc., etc. If I work on the opposite of anava is geava, is pride. If I feed the midah of pride, what will be born from pride will be kas, anger. Then etzev, sadness. These two midot, if you want to look at it in a structure of what's called the relationship of av ve'yeled, a father and a son, one will give birth to the other. The highest midah will be geava, pride. This will give birth to sadness and anger. This will give birth to impatience. To being completely not tolerant, jealousy, all these midot that are completely the opposite of good. So you can now look at it in a very external way and say, like you said, I want something physical because the physical will give me this instant gratification. Yes, the Yetzer Hara will come and lie to you, go and do that. Why? Because you feeding right now your neshama with the wrong nutrition, it will empower a certain midah in you. So if I want to work now on the midah of humbleness, of anava, it's not that I now take a book and I'm going to read how to do it. I have to first spiritually give nutrition to the midah. So what will make me humble is when I take 2 hours of my day, whether I do it in increments of 10 minutes or if I do it 2 hours in one time, is I have to pray. Because praying is called hachna'a, is I'm subduing myself. So in order for me to control my midah, first of all I have to do a motion of what's called hachna'a. Hachna'a is that I give up, I give over. This is this korban. I give something even though I don't want to. I give something that belongs to me. My time, my precious time, instead of now being 2 hours and watching a movie, I'm giving my personal time to help that individual. But what am I doing here? Ani nichna, I give up. Ani machni et atzmi, I subdue my own desire, my own self-gratification. The result from that will be that I'm empowering the midah, the attribute in me, the positive midah in me, which the result will be that it will make me more humble. By default, I'm not going to be so gaivadik. I'm not going to have the geava. Geava is the opposite of anava, and all the bad midot comes from geava. If you want to look at it in groups, The main group, the main midah that is negative is gava. If a person does not have any pride, then he's not giving birth to all the bad midot. Like jealousy. Why is a person jealous? This is a very bad midah. Why am I jealous? Why am I jealous about another person? Because he has more money than me. Because he has a nicer car than me. That his wife is more beautiful than my wife. If you're really going down to the depth of the reason of kin'ah, of jealousy, this is the ultimate shekel. Why are you jealous of somebody else? Now, I explained in the shul before that when I'm working on the midah of anava, of being humble, there's being humble between me and another person, ben adam lechavero, and ben adam lamakom, between me and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if I'm empowering and working on the midah of humbleness between me and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it means that I accept everything that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing. And when I'm not accepting what the Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing, it's the opposite of being humble in front of Hashem. Because I'm not agreeing with the way Hashem is governing the world. So if I am jealous of somebody else because he has more money, it's basically me not being humble in front of Hashem by saying, why did you give him more money than me? But if I'm very humble in front of God, then I'm saying, Hashem decided to give him more money and me less money. So what? So he has more money, I have more kids. He has more money, I'm more healthy. It all depends how you're looking at it. A person that is a very low level, that he's the angle of vision is very narrowed, then he doesn't see the good in everything, rather he dissects the bad out of thing. What will cause that person to look at in that type of angle is when he's feeding his neshama from the physical gratifications. Now, why did I say before that these physical gratifications is sheker, there is nothing to it? We gave example of going to the beach, a good meal, a movie, all these things. Besides of giving me a very short satisfaction, what it does is that it's creating what's called a masach, this blur that I don't see the truth. Why? Because I'm feeding myself the wrong nutrition. It's almost like eating chocolate all day long. So on the surface, if I'm extremely hungry, I'm starving, I have a stomach ache from because I'm so starving, and I'll eat a bar of chocolate, I'm not going to be hungry anymore. Now, did I really satisfy my system? Did I really satisfy my entire stomach? No. I just satamti itze. I clogged it, so I don't feel the hunger. But really, what I did is I poisoned my entire system. This is the Tylenol that I'm talking about, this numbness, this pill that numbs the emotion. So all these small instant gratification is just numbing right now the problem. It's not really feeding the core of it. But if I do something that completely doesn't make sense to me right now, praying, sitting in a class, going and taking my time and helping another person in need, and many other examples, on the surface, I'm not getting any gratification from it. But I, instead of numbing the problem, I dealt with the symptom. I directly affected my neshama. My neshama doesn't care about the beach. My soul does not care about food. It does not care about sleep. It does not care about a movie. It needs a sustenance, a spiritual sustenance. If I'm feeding my soul is 100% happy. If I'm not feeding my soul is not happy. That will already echo into my body. Then my body is not going to be happy. But we came down to this world in a body. Why? To elevate. I'll tell you why. No, you came to the world to elevate the body to the level of the soul. Like Adam Arishon, Adam and Chava, were souls in bodies, and their bodies didn't need all these things. Now the ultimate unity is a soul and a body. We're constantly waiting for the time of Mashiach. The ultimate geulah is going to be a very advanced state of Mashiach, which is called Chiyat HaMetim, meaning that we're going to be souls in bodies. This is where we're going to get the ultimate reward, that we're going to be a soul in a body. But this is a very advanced time of Mashiach. This is 40 years after Mashiach comes. Then Mashiach will purify the world. Then We're going to have the combination like Adam and Chava, a soul in a body. And then I'm going to be able to get pleasures from the physical world. Why? Because there's not going to be any ra in it. There's not going to be any bad in it. Right now I can't. Not right now, it's pulling me to the wrong direction. So in essence, your question is right. Yeah, we came down as souls in bodies to derive pleasure in this world. But we're in exile right now.
You can have a good meal and say, okay, now I'm full. You can have a good meal and say, now I have strength to go do something better. Everything you do, it doesn't mean you can't do it.
I didn't say you can't.
But in a good way.
I didn't say you can't. Exactly. You have to do it the right way. But the majority of people, they don't have the tools or the ability or the focus of saying, I'm going to go to the beach to do it, but I'll do it. I didn't say they should not go to the beach.
You shouldn't at all eat, because sometimes you'll do it not for a good reason. Sometimes you'll just want to get full.
You should, if you're... If, the thing
we're
is like
human.
This.
We are human. I don't know, maybe...
You're human.
At a higher level, right? Yeah. I'm just human, and you're on a very high level. But I am human, so...
The point is...
I'm trying to tell you the truth, and then you have it in your brain somewhat, and then...
I'll give you a different example. No, let me tell you, and then I think the next class is up. I'll tell you that in the physical world, take for example nutrition. A person can be extreme, very extreme. Not eat meat, not eat sugar, be a health freak. Okay? Is that bad? No, it's actually very good to be a health freak and eat only vegetables and eat only fruit and eat only what the ground brings out and make sure that it's organic, etc., etc., etc. One can be a health freak. Is it good or is it bad? So, no, it all depends. It's good.
Of course it depends.
No, I'll tell you why.
At least this whole day and this whole focus in his life, is that's what he's focusing on, and that's bad.
Why is it bad? He's focusing on something good.
You focus on your relationship, you focus on sleeping.
Okay,
doing other things, going to exercise, you focus on your kids.
Okay, this is not the example, but this is not the example I'm giving. Okay, so wait. So let me answer you, because this is not the example I'm trying to give. Back. A person is a health freak. He will never put one bad thing in his body. All he cares about, I'm not saying that his entire day is focused on that he doesn't care about anything but his food. I'm saying that when it comes to the department of food, he's only care about health. The question now, is it good or is it bad? The answer is it's very good, because he's extremely aware of health and he will not do anything, he will not put anything in his body that is bad. In the scale of good or bad, it's excellent.
Why?
Why? Wait, let me answer. No, let me answer. Why is it good? I'm giving you an example. Don't get hooked on the actual fanatic of the person. Okay, so let me now give my example. Listen, we gotta go. Let me give my example so you can get the point. Later on you can contradict the example. Don't focus on the actual act. I'm trying to give you an example. We'll go back again. A person is only caring about health food. I'm not saying that he's not doing anything else. I'm just saying that in the department of food, you'll give to him now. Obviously he will never eat it. You will give to him a cake that has sugar in it, he will never eat it. He's like, it's not healthy, I'm never eating it. You'll give him now a salad, he will eat it. He's caring only about health, okay? In the scale of good or bad, is it good? It is excellent, because he only cares about good food, and he knows that it will give him health, and etc., etc. Now, a person now is 80% aware of health. He's like, okay, I want to eat all the good things, but here and there I'll eat some chocolate, and here and there, I'm not going to be so particular if it's a white flour or brown or not white flour. But the majority, I'm not going to drink Coca-Cola and I'm not going to eat all these greasy food, etc., etc. So in the scale of good and bad, is he excellent? He's now good. Okay? And then you'll go down and down and down till the point of the person who eats only junk food. Mm-hmm. Now, if you compare the person who only eats junk food and the person who's a health freak in the scale of good or bad, the health freak is good, is 100%, and the junk food is 100% bad. But then you have a person that is 70%. Now, what is more dominating? The 70%. 70% good, 30% bad. So what's dominating? The 70%. Which means that the majority of the time he's eating good, but 30% he's like, okay, whatever, I have my yetzerara, I want here and there chocolate, or here and there I'll give myself discounts. The point is, from the example, is that you want to strive to be the 100%, the excellent. But on the way, you'll be 50%, then you'll be 60%, then you'll be 70%, etc., etc. Same thing in the spiritual level. You want to strive to be 100% spiritual, that you don't care about a beach, and you don't care about a movie, and you don't care about food, because you know it's shekel. But if you're holding in a lower level, that you're 70%, then you have to do two things. A, make sure that there's more good than the bad. That the good is dominating, not that the bad is dominating. And more than that, you have to have the right analogy that when you're doing something that is not 100% good, not to derive so much out of it. So if you're asking my honest opinion to go to the beach, there's nothing good in going in the beach. There's nothing good in it. It doesn't give you anything. Yeah, it will give you relaxation, and I want to relax, I want to have fun. I understand all that. But if you're looking at it in a spiritual way, it will not give you anything. Nothing.
If you're a kid and he doesn't want to, let's say, eat his chicken or whatever, maybe not
you. They'll send him to...
Some parents would say, eat your meal, and we'll give you candy at the end of it. You'll get dessert.
Okay.
You know, you won't get dessert. So he's eating dessert, which is maybe not the healthiest thing, but because the motivation is that he'll eat the rest of the chicken and the string beans and whatever. So...
You're trying to get an approval for me to go to the beach, I know.
Not at all. I'm still going to go to the beach, but I just think that you should understand
that. But the example is wrong. This is. I'll tell you what. And then here we have to finish. You know how Rambam calls midot? Rambam calls midot deot, opinions. Now we are born in this world with opinions. Now is the opinion right? That's a whole different question right now, if my opinion is right or not. Some people have opinions that in their opinion, it's good.
Right.
I don't want to even tell you their opinions.
Okay.
Now there's a lot of people with the opinion that men and women should go to the same bathroom. That's their opinion. Is that a good opinion? Or no? It's an opinion. It's their opinion. I'm not going to argue right now if their opinion is good or not. Most of the world has opinions that are wrong. But it's their opinion. Rambam calls midot, our attributes, deot, opinions. So I can live my life according to an opinion. Who says it's the right opinion? Who says that doing a certain thing is the right opinion? I will follow my opinion my entire life. And the opinion will be that if you eat your chicken, you'll get a dessert. So that's an opinion, but you know a lot of people say this is the wrong opinion. What, I'm bribing my child? I'm lying to him. I'll give you this to do this. In chinuch, it's the worst opinion, to bribe a child. In chinuch, if you want to go in the path of chinuch, bribing is the worst thing.
Bribing, you're just making a statement. That
you're bribing. You're bribing the child. If you eat the chicken, I'll give you a lollipop. This is bribing. This is the worst thing to do when you want to educate anyone, is bribing. You bribe the person by... Excuse me?
What's the worst thing?
Why?
Yeah, like...
Because the child grows that in order to get the good thing, I have to do something that I don't like. It's the wrong way of looking at things. The child needs to grow. You eat the chicken... Because it's good for you, not because you're going to get something out of it. The child will grow up, hold on, the child will grow up that in order to get something, He has to do something else. And this is a very bad attitude. Now, what I said about the opinions is that we all are driven by opinions. But if I go by my own opinion, I'll never get anywhere because it's my opinion. That's where I have to do the first action that I said before. It's called hachna'a, that I'm subduing. There's only one opinion. And that's the opinion of the Kadosh Baruch Hu.
But so many people do that. Come on. If you want your kid to start walking, you hold his toy. Come get it. And they get up and they start walking towards the toy. You want somebody...
The child will start walking without the toy too. Besides what you're saying now, this is what's called a tease. A stimulation. But that's the example you're giving, that's a stimulation that they see the toy.
Okay, that, you're helping them develop. They don't understand that.
So, but look how you're mixing. But you're mixing it. That you're saying, "Oh, I'll go to the beach. It will help me develop." Here, you're saying something true. But in general, your example sometimes is true and sometimes is not true. So the example of giving the toy... Where?
I'm saying it does not say anywhere in the Torah.
It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that you can't turn off light bulbs.
It doesn't say in the Torah a lot of things. The thing is that it doesn't say in the Torah a lot of things. If the Torah will come and tell you everything, the Torah will be like an encyclopedia. It can say in the Torah every little thing. The Torah comes in, I'll give you an example. It says in the Torah, "Lo tirtzach," don't kill. Okay, I'm now understanding from it that I'm not allowed to kill cockroaches. Everything else I'm allowed to kill, cockroaches I'm not allowed to kill. That's my opinion.
But to bring it back to the middle, I have to like you and love you as I love myself, even though you think differently.
Of course, this is the ultimate anava. This is the ultimate anava. If a person wants to be, the more you are refining your midot, the more closer you'll be to God. The ultimate, the highest midah that one wants to concentrate, I wanted to do, we didn't have time, I wanted to go through a whole list of midot and how to apply it and why it's coming. That's it, Monday we're finishing. But the highest midah, for good and bad, that one needs to focus on is in good is midat anava, being humble, and in bad is midat geava. And anava, if I break it down, to be humble, it's between me and God, meaning that I'm humbling myself in front of God, that I don't have an opinion, it's His opinion. Amen. And between me and ben adam lechavero is three things. The first thing, that I only see good in another person. The other thing is that I accept everybody exactly how they are. And the third thing, that I judge everybody favorably. And if I practice these three, then I'm working on the midah of anava between me and another person. And if I am able to accept another person with all his opinions and all his craziness and everything, and I still love him and I accept him, then I'm bringing myself to the level of anava that I don't see any person that is worse than me. The problem with geava, the opposite of anava, is that I think that I'm better than somebody else. And when I think that I'm better than somebody else, this is geava, this is pride. This is an air balloon. And if I want to be the opposite, then I'm not better than anyone else. And I meet a person, most people, right away, they say, "I'm better than that person. I'm smarter than him. I'm better than him. I'm more kind than him," etc., etc. The humble person, "I'm not better than anyone." Look at Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't think that. Moshe Rabbeinu. Look at the, you know, when Korach came to Moshe Rabbeinu, he started telling him, "Who do you think you are? You are a prophet? You are a leader? You are a liar? You're this? You're that?" He came to argue with him. Now, Moshe, who was the most humble man in history, he didn't tell him, "What are you talking about? I split the sea. I took the Jews out of the Mitzrayim. Look what the plagues they did." This is geava. He could have said that. He is the one. Instead, you know what he did? He started crying. "Maybe you're right. Maybe he's right." He says, "Vayipol al panav vayivkeh." Moshe started crying because he thought that maybe he's right. This is the ultimate anava, that I don't think that somebody else is coming to rebuke me or to prove me wrong, that I'm better than him. So I'm not saying that it's easy. And then came the question that she asked last week and we didn't get to answer, but we really got to finish, is how do you accept a person that does really something bad? That person now go and rape the person, or molested a child, or killed somebody. How do you really like them? So here is a very fine line. When somebody does completely the opposite of the will of God, you have no obligation to like him or love him. When it comes to a Jew that comes now and does a sin, you're not obligated in liking his acts. You actually have to hate his acts. You have to rebuke him. Hochach tochiach et amitecha. But his soul, you have to love. His neshama. Excuse me? Essentially. Bezal Hashem, Yom Sheni, it's the last shiur. I wanted to talk about something else. I think, I don't know if we can even get to it. I wanted to talk about the Tikkun HaMidot according to the four elements, but we'll see if we get to that, because that's...
Yom Sheni, Shalom.
Yeah, just Yom Sheni. But the point to take from this shiur is not how I'm restricting myself from this world and being fanatic. The point is to get here to the level that everything that I see and do in my life is to dissect it and come to the understanding, what benefit is this act going to do to me? Is it going to do a physical benefit or a spiritual benefit? Yes, I have a yetzer hara and I have my desires and I have my teavot. But to have in your mind, what benefit is it going to do? So if I'm going to go to the beach and the benefit is going to be negative, that's it, just be true to yourself. If the benefit is going to be good and saying, you know what, yes, I have a yetzirah, I want to go to the beach, but let me get something good out of it. Let me get a good benefit out of it. Then you're taking something physical and you're kind of pushing it to a positive way. It all depends in your mind. So a person that is very strong-minded can go to the beach and say, yes, I want to go to the beach, but what am I benefiting out of it? If I'm going to benefit something positive out of it, adoba. The danger becomes that most people cannot stand the temptation when they come to the place and they derive something negative out of it. That's the problem. Now, if I'm a very strong person and I'm not going to be hurt by going to certain places, adraba. But the nature of human beings, and that's where you have to be true to yourself, is will I stand the temptation when I get to the point that I might come to something bad out of it? The point is, when the Torah prohibits us to do certain things, is not to come to a prohibition. And if I'm a very centered and very aligned and very strong individual, and I know this will not affect me, fine, then do it. But the reality is that we're human, and almost anything, if I put myself into danger, I might fail. So one needs to have a very strong mind to say, what is the benefit of what I want to do right now? That's why our sages say, Ezo chacham aroet anolad. What does it mean? Who's the smart person? The one who sees what's going to come out of it. So if I'm going to see that something bad is going to come out of this certain act, that's it. Now it's your decision if to do it or not. But a person, you know, a lot of people, they complain all the time about bad things that happens to them, and they blame the entire world. They don't realize that the bad things that's happening to them, it's because they're putting themselves in these situations. And the Yetzirah will tell them, it's not the beach, it's that. It's not the movie, it's that. But the ultimate, what puts me in a situation that I have a very big vessel that is empty, is that I put myself in these places that I derive a very instant physical gratification, but the result is emptiness. That's where the Chacham sees, okay, yes, I have an instant gratification, but the long run, it's emptiness. That's why the spiritual person will say, I'd rather go and pray for an hour. I'd rather go and learn Torah for an hour. Excuse me? You have to be true to yourself. The problem is that most people, they lie to themselves. And they say, yeah, I this is good for me. It all depends how you're looking at things. I know this world is not easy. Of course you constantly want to feed these little things, and now you're saying it will help me grow. To get to the level that you see and you understand that everything is sheker, that's a very high level. Because the Yetzirah will constantly come and tell you, do this, do that. But I'm talking right now in a level that one wants to strive to, and the level that you get the real, true happiness and fulfillment in life is anything but the physical pleasures. That's it. Can we do it? We can. We just have to try. I'm not saying it's easy. It's actually very hard. But I started the shiur by saying, ultimately we want pleasure. We constantly want to be happy and to have pleasure. Now I have to find a way what will get me to the real, true pleasure. And then I have to ask myself, will a beautiful car really give me pleasure? Probably not. Will a real beautiful vacation give me pleasure? It will give me 2 weeks of fun, but down the line it's not the real thing. That's why, you know, tonight we're celebrating the Hilulah of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He was sitting in a cave for 13 years. He didn't need anything, and he was in the highest spiritual pleasure world. He's the proof that we don't need anything physical. Are we going to be in the level of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Never. But at least we can strive.